God is so good. God is so good. Nick, thanks for sharing. I know that getting up front may not be your first thought, but you know, you've been sharing in so many ways, and church, it's good when somebody gets free. It's good. Hey, Nick, are you free from sin? How free are you? Amen. Squeaky clean, free. To be able to just share that truth with people. And you know what? You don't have to tell us that stuff is happening, because it's just radiated out of both of you guys. And we see it, and we're blessed. We're blessed by it. And Nick didn't share this, but I'll share with the church family that Nick has recently, the Lord opened up an opportunity for him to be able to go into the prisons and to be able to share the love of Jesus there. And Nick, we'll be praying for you as you continue to have a voice. Like, this is just the first chapter of your new life, and there's a whole story still to be written. So, God is good. Church family, thank you for your prayers, for your pastors. Thank you for the love that you share for your pastoral staff here. And I know all four of us, including Pastor Randy, are blessed. So Pastor Shoka leaned over to me after he sat back down and said, "I'm really glad I wore a suit today." I don't know what that says about me, but you came up here for 30 seconds. And okay, anyway, come as you are and as you want to be, as the song said. We're glad to be in the presence of God today. Just want to have you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. While you're getting there, let me ask a question to you. How many of you know what it is to pull an all-nighter? Yeah? All right. Well, hey, there's a lot of us here. Maybe anybody pull an all-nighter trying to get from one place to another? Yeah? Drives. I remember back in the day, my parents used to say, "Let's just drive. Let's just leave at night and drive all night so that our kids can sleep in the car." And we would try to stay awake as long as possible, you know, arguing and fighting in the back seat. Anybody pull an all-nighter in school? Yeah. All right, yeah. I pulled my share, especially the last year and a half of nursing school. I got married while I was still in nursing school. And being married and being in school does not lend itself well to, well, let me say it this way. It lends itself very well to procrastination. Yes? And so I pulled a few all-nighters in the last couple years of nursing school. Anybody work night shift? Yeah? And you know that feeling of like coming into your first night back to work, and you've been up during the day and you've been, you know, flipping back and forth between days and nights. And so, yeah, there's definitely some all-nighters. Well, today we're going to look at Luke chapter 6 together, and we're going to read about a short story of Jesus and how he pulled an all-nighter. As we open scripture, let's bow our heads and just ask for the Holy Spirit to guide our minds. Lord, we come to scripture today knowing that we need something from you. And we thank you that your word is alive and that it's able to speak directly to our needs and our specific life circumstances today. So give us your Holy Spirit's presence. We thank you that, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We ask that our minds would be open and guided by you. And we pray that you will open our eyes to any truth that you might want us to take away. Maybe any thing that you would have us change, that you would... any lie that we've maybe been living under that you would like us to be free from, and just any peace that you want to speak into our hearts. We're open to all of those things, Lord, and more, everything that you want in your spirit today for us. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 6. Just continuing to work our way through the stories of Jesus in Luke. So many good stories that we've been in together. And if you've missed any of the last couple weeks, I would just encourage you to jump onto the YouTube channel, PVC Life, youtube.com/PVC Life, and catch up with these first few chapters of the book of Luke. And we're going to start in Luke 6 and verse 12 today. Our sermon title for the day, Much Prayer, Much Power. Luke 6:12. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. It's the word of the Lord. I tried to stay up all night and pray one time. It's back in college. I was at Southern College out in Tennessee and was taking a class from Dr. Derek Morris. It was a class that was really designed to help to guide us into discipleship and to learn what it meant to have a connection with Jesus, a daily relationship with Jesus. And I'm very thankful for that class. I look back over my life and, I had caught some things along the way, but it was the first time that someone had really shared with me a process that we could enter into intentionally to try to deepen our spiritual journey. And one of the things that Dr. Moore, by the way, just side note on that, it's happened two or three more times in the course of my adult life that someone has taken the time to say, hey, here's what I do to enter into deep and meaningful relationship with Jesus. Here's how it looks in my life. So this isn't in my notes, but I just want to say to you, would you do that for someone else? Would you share with someone else, like, hey, this is what my life looks like with God. This is what my secret place time looks like with God. Because I believe that we need more of that kind of mentoring that takes place, because we don't just always know intuitively how it should look or how it works. I remember taking a class from Dwight Nelson at seminary, and it was a preaching class, and he said at the beginning of the class, the first week of this class, I just want to spend time with you, talking with you about what my devotional life looks like, and I want to share that with you. I want to just open that up to you. And that had such meaning to me. So we were in this class at Southern, Dr. Derek Morris, and one of the things that I remember him challenging us with is this passage from Luke chapter 6 and the fact that Jesus stayed up all night praying. And he didn't assign us to do that, but he encouraged us to think about the depth of connection that Jesus had with his Father, that he would go up onto a mountain and stay up all night. And he even suggested that maybe we would want to try to set aside a block of time. And I remember my roommate and I both decided, we were both taking that class together, and we decided that we were going to stay up all night and pray. All night did not turn out to be all night. we had good intentions, but I think I'm remembering the story from Matthew 26 where Jesus is in the garden with his disciples, and he's in agony, and he's praying, crying out to the Lord, and he asks his disciples to pray with him, and then they fall asleep, and he goes back and wakes them up, and then he goes back to pray, and they sleep again, and I remember him saying, Jesus, the words in Matthew 26, could you not pray with me, wait with me 1 hour? Well, that was kind of how our experience went. It may have been longer than an hour, but we certainly did not make it all night. I've been looking, I got out a book that I'm rereading by E.M. Bounds called Power Through Prayer. And this quote, you may have seen it, we shared it on the church's Facebook this week. It says this: spiritual work is taxing work, and men are loath to do it. I think men and women both are loath to do it. Praying, true praying, costs an outlay of serious attention and of time, which flesh and blood do not relish. I resonate with that statement. I was thinking this week, ministry's hard work, you know, not saying that because I want you to feel sorry for me, or Pastor George has been gone this week. There's been a lot of things that have happened this week, a lot of demands on time and energy, and I was thinking to myself, I can't imagine ministry on no sleep. And yet something that Jesus knew put him in a position where he couldn't imagine ministry on sleep but no prayer. And I'm called, that calls out to me. I think it probably calls to all of us. I'm sensing, church family, that God is calling us into a deeper place of prayer. Amen. As a church. That the example of Jesus is an example that shows that little prayer equals little power, and that much prayer equals much power. Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Why did Jesus need to go and pray? Why did Jesus need to go and pray all night? It's actually a question that would drive you into a study or some questions around what we call Christology. Who was Jesus? And what did he need as the Son of God and Son of Man? He was fully human, fully divine. Why did Jesus need to go and pray? I'm suggesting that he did need to do that. And so I don't want to go deep into that, but I want to just call your attention to words from John chapter 5 when Jesus said, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own accord. Jesus needed to abide in the Father. He needed to connect with the Heavenly Father and with Holy Spirit. The miracles that Jesus did, the ministry that Jesus engaged in, was out of the outflow of the Holy Spirit's filling in his life. And so I want us to realize that our reality is that if Jesus needed to go out and to pray, to enter into a place of intentional seeking oneness with his Father, how much more do I need that? Do you need that? We need to pursue prayer because prayer is, I think of prayer as a tuning fork. Prayer is the tuning fork that brings my heart into alignment with the heart of God, that brings my mind into alignment with the mind of God. Prayer is making myself available to the Holy Spirit to be shaped and molded and prepared and filled. And all of those things are essential to what God is calling us to. It's how the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. I'm just thinking about that prayer that Jesus showed his disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, it was the disciples' prayer, wasn't it? I mean, it includes the words, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Those were words that Jesus modeled for his disciples to be able to pray. And the heart of that prayer, it's his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to ask you a question. What motivates prayer? What motivated Jesus' prayer? And I want to challenge us to think about what motivates our own prayers before we get to what motivates Jesus' prayer. Have you ever been motivated to pray because of guilt? I'll raise my hand to that one. Anybody else? Anybody want to be honest? You prayed because you felt guilty? I've been there. I've done that. Maybe we felt guilty for sin that we know that we've committed, but maybe also we just felt guilty because we looked around and we knew that Christians are supposed to pray, and we looked at our own lives and realized we were leaning a lot more toward the little prayer, little power thing than the much prayer, much power, and so we were motivated by guilt. Anybody been motivated by inspiration? Like you've been inspired by the life of someone else, and maybe you've read stories about great men and women of prayer, and you've felt inspired in that way. I've done things in my life because I've looked at others and wanted to emulate that. I have a good friend who passed away a couple of years ago. His name was Tim Ellis, and Tim was like the best guitar player that I've ever known, and I used to enjoy playing with him, playing guitar with him, and I would compliment his playing or some solo that he just busted out in the middle of an impromptu jam session, and he would say, "Greg, the only difference between me and you is like 1,500 hours of practice." Malcolm Gladwell, in his book *The Outliers*, said that the requisite to become an expert is about 10,000 hours. You can be if you spent 10,000 hours doing something, you could become the best, one of the best in the world at that, at whatever it was that you put your heart or mind into. And so maybe we've been motivated to prayer by inspiration. By the way, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, that we would look at the life of Jesus and realize that his prayer life was powerful and be drawn into a place of inspiration. So that's a motivator for prayer. I think that maybe the best motivation for prayer, the most effective motivation for prayer, is desperation. I was spending time with my friend and mentor Ray this last week, and we were talking to someone, and Ray used the language of the gift of desperation. Have you ever thought of desperation as a gift? The gift of desperation. I think that desperation is a significant motivator for prayer, and in fact, I believe it's really the best motivator for prayer. I've been asking God to stir a hunger in my heart for prayer. And one of the ways that he has been answering that is by putting me in situations that cause me to sense my own inability to go forward, to reach, to minister, and to accomplish the seemingly impossible tasks that have been in front of me. And I believe that it's the gift of desperation. So do you think that, by the way, desperation and dependence, I think those two things could go hand in hand, couldn't they? desperation. Because the more we realize our dependence, the more we understand that we connect with that concept of desperation. So I want to ask you a question now to think about. What was Jesus' motivation for going up to the mountain and praying? Jesus wasn't motivated by guilt. I don't know if he was motivated by inspiration. I don't think that he was looking at anyone else and being inspired in that moment. I think that Jesus understood his dependence on the Father and on the Holy Spirit. And he was motivated to abide from a place of dependence. The Son of Man can do nothing on his own accord. Jesus knew that he was facing super important decisions and a public ministry that was going to be very, very demanding. And he went and spent all night in prayer from a place of dependence. He came down off of the mountain, and instead of taking a nap, it says, when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12. Apparently, Jesus had a whole bunch of disciples that were following him, that were traveling with him at that point. And he selected the 12 who we've named here. Boys and girls, do you memorize all the names of the disciples? Do you guys sing that song? You still sing that song? There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him. Okay, I just thought I'd ask. That song came to my mind as I was reading. I think that the decision that Jesus knew that he needed to make around calling those disciples to himself was a decision where he felt a need for a dependence upon his Father and upon Holy Spirit insight and guidance and wisdom. So when we come to place of decision making in our lives, yes, prayer. Maybe it'd be time to pull an all-nighter to really seek after the Holy Spirit's leading. But also for ministry. It says he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him. For power came out from him and healed them all. Does power come out from you? It's an honest question. Does power come out from me? I shared with you a few months ago about a question that my friend Jonathan asked me. He asked me, do you feel like your ministry is marked daily by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit? And I told you that when he asked me that question, I was convicted in my heart that the answer was no. And the last couple of years has been a quest, a seeking Holy Spirit presence. And as I've been on that, I mentioned earlier in this message that I feel like that the Lord is calling us into something more, something deeper in prayer. And that question came to me again in reading this testimony of Jesus' ministry, that people came and touched him and power came out from him. That's a significant, don't miss that, the significance of that statement. And you could look at this and say, well, but he was Jesus. Well, don't forget, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own accord. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, at his baptism, Spirit came, and it said that the Spirit came and remained on him. Jesus sought out constant infilling of Holy Spirit presence, and about him it could be said that power, that people just wanted to touch him because
Power came out from him. Remember the story of Jesus working his way through the crowd on his way to visit and heal that young girl and the woman who came with an issue of blood. And she, it says that she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. And when that happened, Jesus knew that power had gone out from him. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But I believe that God is calling us into a deeper place of prayer, that we could be filled with power from the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus wasn't the only one that was doing miracles. He sent his disciples. When he sent his disciples out, he sent them and told them to go out and heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And they were dependent on the Holy Spirit in the same way that he was dependent on the Holy Spirit for power. So as I read this passage and looked, I know there's some section headings in here, but I believe that there's a direct connection between the all night that Jesus spent in prayer and the power that came out of him to heal. You want to be motivated for prayer? Watch as God sends people into your life that need a touch, a healing touch. And watch how quickly you begin to feel a sense of dependence and desperation. Ask God to send people into your life that are broken, that he wants to repair, and watch how quickly you feel a sense of dependence on him for power and for strength. Prayer, and I would say prayer in the night seasons comes naturally when we feel the weight of the demand of ministry. And we begin to call on the name of the Lord. We begin to call out to God. You know, calling on the name of the Lord is the end goal of our ministry. You know, there's that piece of scripture that where it says, how will they hear? That faith comes by hearing, but how will they hear if there's not someone preaching? You know how that ends? That ends with people calling on the name of the Lord. Church, the goal of ministry, the goal of God's purpose is not just that we proclaim the gospel. It's not just that people believe in Jesus. That might sound crazy to you. It's actually that people would call on the name of the Lord, that we would proclaim the gospel and that people would hear that and would come to believe in Jesus. But the ultimate goal is that people would call on the name of the Lord. That's prayer. That's crying out to God. That's the end purpose of the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring us to a place of calling out on the Lord and being saved in that. So I want to ask you a question. When you think about prayer, when you think about that spiritually taxing work that our soul doesn't the souls of men does not relish, what does a better word bring to that? What does a better word bring to that? I want to just end with, you know, we're talking about a better word from Hebrews 12. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. And I want to just take a moment and say that when it comes to prayer, a better word changes so many things. I mean, the better word that we come to is the word forgiveness juxtaposed over and against the word justice. The Bible's speaking here about a better word. The blood of Jesus speaking a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel is crying out for justice, and so it entails judgment. But the blood of Jesus speaks a word of forgiveness. And Hebrews teaches that Jesus, by his blood, opened up a new and living way for us to come directly to God and have direct access. And I want to just quickly suggest to you that the better word speaks no guilt or condemnation. If any person is in Christ Jesus, in Christ, there is no condemnation. We come with a clean conscience, the book of Hebrews tells us, so that when we come into a place of prayer, a place of abiding in Him, into the presence of God, we come with a completely clean conscience. We come completely free. And we come as children. Children don't need permission to come into the presence of their parents, do they? They just run in and ask for what they need. They run in and ask for what their friends need. They run in and ask with audacity because they know that mom and dad have access to all kinds of resources. And the better word speaks that we have direct access. So I want to end by asking this question, so what? What does the example of Jesus and the truth that with much prayer comes much power, what does that mean for us this week? How do we live differently? I'm gonna ask you these three things. I'm gonna ask you to in your secret place time, ask God to teach you through the Holy Spirit what it looks like to be dependent on Him in prayer. Ask God to teach you that through the Holy Spirit, to be dependent on Him. The second one is connected. Pray for hunger and desperation. And I would even go so far as to say, pray that God will give you situations that will create for you a hunger and a desperation. That might be a scary thing to pray. But I can tell you this. There are all kinds of ways that God can bring you to this place, and many of them are wonderful ways that He can bring us to a place of hunger and desperation. And the third and last one is this. I want to challenge us to double down on our commitment to time and prayer. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe God is calling you into a place of intercession. You know, we've got in the bulletin, there's prayer requests here. There are needs in this church that you can be lifting up. Maybe God is calling you to a different aspect of prayer, praying for wisdom. Maybe He's calling you to pray for things that you felt are impossible. Maybe He's just calling you to start praying. I mean, real talk, there are weeks, maybe months that go by without prayer in Christians' lives, and we become cut off from the source of power. And so I want to ask you to just double down on your commitment to prayer. Maybe that means that where you've been praying 5 minutes, you want to pray 10. Maybe it means where you've been praying 30, you want to pray for an hour. Maybe it's even a call to pray all night. Those are three things that I think could be so what's for this week's message. And we do it in the context of a better word. Let's stand and sing together as a response. Pray together. Jesus, we thank You for Your better word. We thank You for Your blood that is for the forgiveness of sins, and that we could stand completely free and clean before You, Lord, with clean conscience that's been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for a call deeper into prayer. And I know that we could get it wrong. We could be tempted to make this about performing in order to be acceptable to You, checking off minutes on our knees and items on our list. And Lord, I pray that You'd protect us from that. Let us enter into this not so that we can be acceptable to You, but precisely because we are acceptable to You through Jesus Christ. That we can actually come into Your presence in prayer and abide in You and You in us. Thank You for the oneness that we can have, Lord. And so I pray that You'll protect us from any attempt to try to add to what Jesus has already done, but that we would sense a call deeper into prayer. And Lord, I pray that this church, this place, this sanctuary would be a house of prayer for all people. A place where we come to call on the name of the Lord because You deliver us from our troubles. You hear when we call and You respond, and there's power in prayer. And so, Lord, connect us with that. Teach us to depend on You. Bring us into a place of desperation. Give us the gift even of desperation. And let us watch as you work mighty wonders as we come to you in prayer. That's my prayer today, Lord, and I pray that you would be with every person here in the sound of my voice. Lord, I just want to lift up to you Rick and Vicky and Rob and Ron as they're grieving the loss of Rick's mother this week and beyond. And Lord, there's so many other needs that are represented here. We come to you and we just call out to you, Lord, knowing that you are our hope, you are our rock, you are our foundation, you are our God, and in you we place our trust. Thank you that anyone who places their trust in you will never be ashamed, that anyone who comes to you will never cast aside. We thank you and praise you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.